ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Welcome everyone back to the live studios here in Govardhan Dham, ISKCON Bhaktivedanta Ashram. Before we begin our session this morning of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll read the beautiful and deeply philosophical prayer by Sanatana Goswami glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam. We meditate on this every day before we read the Bhagavatam. It will help us to understand what we're reading. It goes like this. Sarva Shastra Dipi Yusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnaja Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dwan Durita Ditya Sri Krishna Parivartita. Don't have me lead you, use me for it. Thank you. O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshaksharaya Te Sarvada Sivasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who is supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna Himself. Madeka bando matsangin madguro man mahadana manistadaka madbhagya madananda namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Sadhu saduta dain atini chochata kara hanamun chigada chinmam premna rit kanta yospura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4. What's the name of the chapter?
The characteristics of Rishabhadeva.
The characteristics of Rishabhadeva. Text 17. Lord Rishabhadeva performed all kinds of sacrifices 100 times according to the instructions of the Vedic literatures. Thus he satisfied Lord Vishnu in every respect. All the rituals were enriched by first-class ingredients. They were executed in holy places according to the proper time by priests who were all young and faithful. In this way, Lord Vishnu was worshipped and the prasad was offered to all the demigods. Thus, the functions and festivals were all successful. Purport. It is said, Komara acharat pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. A ritual should be performed by young men, even boys, at a tender age in order for the ritual to be performed successfully. From childhood, people should be trained in Vedic culture, especially in devotional service. In this way, one can perfect one's life. A Vaishnava does not disrespect the demigods, but on the other hand, he is not so foolish that he accepts each and every demigod as the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is master of all demigods. Therefore, the demigods are his servants. The Vaishnava, accepting the demigods as servants of the Supreme Lord, worships them properly. In the Brahma Sanghita, the important demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and even the incarnations and expansions of Lord Krishna like Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and all the other Vishnu tattvas, as well as the Shakti tattvas like Durga Devi, are all worshipped by the process of worshipping Govinda with the words Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. A Vaishnava worships the demigods in relation to Govinda, not independently. Vaishnavas are not so foolish that they consider the demigods independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arasabha Vritya. The Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are his servants. Text 18. No one likes to possess anything that is like a will-o'-the-wisp or a flower in the sky, for everyone knows very well that such things do not exist. When Lord Rishabhadev ruled this planet of Bharatavarsha, even common men did not want to ask for anything at any time or by any means. No one ever asks for a will-o'-the-wisp. In other words, everyone was completely satisfied, and therefore there was no chance of anyone's asking for anything. The people were absorbed in great affection for the king. Since this affection was always expanding, they were not inclined to ask for anything. Purport. In Bengal, the word Godhad Dimba is used, which means the egg of a horse. Since a horse never lays an egg, the word Godhad Dimba actually has no meaning. In Sanskrit, there is a word Kapushpa, which means the flower in the sky. No flower grows in the sky, therefore no one is interested in asking for Kapushpa or Godhad Dimba. During the reign of Maharaj Rishabhadev, people were so well equipped that they did not want to ask for anything. They were immensely supplied with all necessities for life due to King Rishabhadev's good government. Consequently, everyone felt full satisfaction and did not want anything. This is the perfection of government. If the citizens are unhappy due to bad government, the heads of government are condemned. During these democratic days, monarchy is disliked by the people. But here is an example of how an emperor of the whole world kept all the citizens fully satisfied by supplying the necessities of life and following the Vedic principles. Memo to Trump. Thus, everyone was happy during the reign of Maharaj Rishabhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 19. Once, while touring the world, Lord Rishabhadev, the Supreme Lord, reached a place known as Brahmavarta. There was a great conference of learned brahmanas at that place, and all the king's sons attentively heard the instructions of the brahmanas there. At that assembly, within the hearing of the citizens, Rishabhadev instructed his sons, although they were already very well behaved, devoted, and qualified. He instructed them so that in the future they could rule the world very perfectly. Thus he spoke as follows. Purport. The instructions of Lord Rishabhadev to his sons are very valuable if one wants to live peacefully within this world, which is full of miseries. In the next chapter, Lord Rishabhadev gives his sons these valuable instructions. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Characteristics of Rishabhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Chapter 5. Lord Rishabhadev's teachings to his sons. Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke kashtan kaman arhate vibhujamye tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyad yasmad brahma saukyam tvanantam. Lord Rishabhadev told his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Purport. In this verse, Lord Rishabhadeva tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word dehabhak refers to anyone who accepts a material body, but the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals like dogs and hogs enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. After undergoing severe hardships all day, human beings are trying to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex, and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human life means voluntarily practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. There is, of course, suffering in the lives of animals and plants, which are suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living entity is trying to enjoy happiness. But as long as one is encaged in the material body, he has to suffer different kinds of misery. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardian, the father, should educate subordinates and raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in this cycle of birth and death perpetually. To relieve them from this bondage and enable them to become blissful and happy, Bhakti Yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of Bhakti Yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a hog or dog. The instructions of Rishabhadeva are very essential at this present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification, and there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train, and being packed into a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. Then again, he takes a bus to get to the office. At the office, he works hard from 9 to 5. Then he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating, he has sex and goes to sleep. For all this hardship, his only happiness is a little sex. Yanmaitunadi Griyamedi Sukamhituchcham. Rishabhadev clearly states that human life is not meant for this kind of existence, which is enjoyed by even by dogs and hogs. Indeed, dogs and hogs do not have to work so hard for sex. A human being should try to live in a different way and should not try to imitate dogs and hogs. The alternative is mentioned. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity, and penance. By tapasya, one can get out of the material clutches. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, his happiness is guaranteed eternally. By taking to bhakti yoga, devotional service, one's existence is purified. The living entity is seeking happiness life after life, but he can make a solution to all his problems simply by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yogeti tatvataha tekvadeham punar janma naiti ma meti sarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna. Text number 2. Mahatsevam rara mahurva muktes tamodaram yoshitam tangi sangam mahantaste samachita prashanta vimanya vaksudra daksada bhoye. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger, and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas. Purport. The human body is like a junction. One may either take the path of liberation or the path leading to a hellish condition. How one can take these paths is described herein. On the path of liberation, one associates with Mahatmas, and on the path of bondage, one associates with those attached to sense gratification and women. There are two types of Mahatmas, the impersonalist and the devotee. Although their ultimate goal is different, the process of emancipation is almost the same. Both want eternal happiness. One seeks happiness in impersonal Brahman, and the other seeks happiness in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described in the first verse, Brahma Saukhyam. Brahman means spiritual or eternal. Both the impersonalist and the devotee seeks eternal blissful life. In any case, it is advised that one become perfect. In the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Asatsanga tyag e Vaishnavachar, Sri Sanga eka asadu Krishna bhakta ar. To remain unattached to the modes of material nature, one should avoid associating with those who are asat, materialistic. There are two kinds of materialists. One is attached to women and sense gratification, and the other is simply a non-devotee. On the positive side is association with Mahatmas, and on the negative side is the avoidance of non-devotees and women hunters. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, regarding this paradigm, that just as it's more implicating to associate with somebody who's attached to women than to associate with women directly, so similarly, it's more beneficial to associate with devotees than to associate with directly with the Lord.
Nice.
Interesting. Three. Yeva mayishe kritasauridarta janishu deham varavartikeshu griheshu jayat majarati matsu napriti yukta yavarartas chaloke. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders, nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. Purport. Whether he is an impersonalist or devotee, one who is actually interested in advancing spiritually should not mingle with those who are simply interested in maintaining the body by means of the so-called advancement of civilization. Those who are interested in spiritual life should not be attached to homely comforts in the company of wife, children, friends, and so forth. Even if one is a grihastha and has to earn his livelihood, he should be satisfied by collecting only enough money to maintain body and soul together. One should not have more than nor less than that. As indicated herein, a householder should endeavor to earn money for the execution of bhakti yoga, shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam padasevanam archanam bandhanam dasyam sakyam atma nivedanam. A householder should lead such a life that he gets full opportunity to hear and chant. He should worship the deity at home, observe festivals, invite friends in, and give them prasad. A householder should earn money for this purpose, not for sense gratification. 4. Nunam brahmatat kurute vikarma yadindriya pritaya apranoti nasaramanye yata atmano yam asannapi kleshada asadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Purport. Begging, borrowing, and stealing to live for sense gratification is condemned in this verse because such consciousness leads one to a dark, hellish condition. The four sinful activities are illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. These are the means by which one gets another material body that is full of miseries. In the Vedas it is said, asango yayam purushaha, the living entity is not really connected with this material world, but due to his tendency to enjoy the material senses, he is put into the material condition. One should perfect his life by associating with devotees. He should not become further implicated in the material body.
Yavat kriyasthavadidam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha.
As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruit of activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruit of activity, he has to accept another material body. Purport. Generally, people think that one should act very piously in order to be relieved from misery. But this is not a fact. Even though one engages in pious activity and speculation, he is nonetheless defeated. His only aim should be emancipation from the clutches of Maya and all material activities. Speculative knowledge and pious activity do not solve the problems of material life. One should be inquisitive to understand his spiritual position, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:37. Yatai tamsi samitok nir vasmasat kurutarjuna ginagni sarvakarmani Basma sat guru te tata. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Unless one understands the self and its activities, one has to be considered in material bondage. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, it is said, Yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas vayasta bhavaravashuta buddhaya. A person who doesn't have knowledge of devotional service may think himself liberated, but actually, he is not. Aruya krishena parampadam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangraya. Such people may approach the impersonal brahmana effulgence, but they fall down again into material enjoyment because they have no knowledge of devotional service. As long as one is interested in karma and jnana, he continues enduring the miseries of material life, birth, old age, disease, and death. Karmis certainly take on one body after another. As far as jnanis are concerned, unless they are promoted to the topmost understanding, they must return to the material world. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam jamanam ante jnanavam prapadyate. The point is to know Krishna. What's the point?
Know Krishna.
What's the point?
To know Krishna.
What's the point?
To know Krishna.
Vasudev, as everything and surrender unto him. Karmis do not know this, but a devotee who is 100% engaged in the devotional service of the Lord knows fully what is karma and jnana. Therefore, a pure devotee is no longer interested in karma and jnana. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma nyanavratam. The real bhakta is untouched by any tinge of karma and jnana. That's all right. It's a verse. The real bhakta is untouched by any tinge of karma and jnana. His only purpose in life is to serve the Lord.
Eva mana karma basham prayukte vidyatmanya prajayamane pityadavan mai vasudeve namuchate deha yogena tavat. When the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjugated by fruitive activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again. Purport. When the mind is polluted by fruitive activity, the living entity wants to be elevated from one material position to another. Generally, everyone is involved in working hard day and night to improve his economic condition. Even when one understands the Vedic rituals, he becomes interested in promotion to heavenly planets, not knowing that one's real interest lies in returning home, back to Godhead. By acting on the platform of fruitive activity, one wanders throughout the universe in different species and forms. Unless he comes in contact with the devotee of the Lord, a guru, he does not become attached to the service of Lord Vasudeva. Knowledge of Vasudeva requires many births to understand. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Vasudeva Sevamiti Samahatma Sidurulabaha. After struggling for existence for many births, one may take shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva, Krishna. When this happens, one actually becomes wise and surrenders unto him. That is the only way to stop the repetition of birth and death. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the instructions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami at Dashashwamedha Ghat. Brahmande Brahmite Konya Bhagyabhanji Guru Krishna Prasadi Poi Bhakti Latavi. The living entity wanders throughout different planets in different forms and bodies. But if by chance he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, by the grace of the spiritual master, he receives Lord Krishna's shelter and his devotional life begins. Text 7. Yada napashyatyanyata kudeham swarte pramatat sahasati paschit katasmitir vindati tatratapan asadyamaitunyam agadam agyaha. Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse, and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. Purport. In the lowest stage of devotional life, one is not an unalloyed devotee. Anyabila chita shunyam jnana karma janavritam. To be an unalloyed devotee, one must be freed from all material desires and untouched by fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. On the lower platform, one may sometimes be interested in philosophical speculation with a tinge of devotion. However, at that stage, one is still interested in sense gratification and is contaminated by the modes of material nature. The influence of Maya is so strong that even a person advanced in knowledge actually forgets that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, he remains satisfied in his householder life, which is centered around sexual intercourse. Conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. Due to ignorance, one is thus bound by the chain of material laws. Text 8. Pumsastriya matuni bhavam etam tayor mito ridaya grantam ahu ato griham shikra vitsakta vitaya janasya moho namaham mameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Purport. Sex serves as the natural attraction between man and woman. And when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called Hridayagranthi, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo, even though a man and woman separate either for the principles of varnashrama or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus, a person becomes materially attached to family, property, and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor, unfortunately, identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or to the few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Sanghita, it is stated, Pramadya Jagya Valkyaja Muchante Stri Sahadina Buddhante Kechanaitesham Visheshan Pido Viduhu. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma, that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship, and consequently, they forget their relationship with Krishna. Text 9. Yada mano hridaya grantir asya kamarubhado dhrida ashadheta tadachanak samparivartate smad mukta param yat yatihaya hetum. When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated. Thus one goes to the transcendental world. Purport. When, by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception of due to knowledge. When, by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception due to knowledge, practice, and detachment. The knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. Thus one can get freed from conditional life and become eligible to return home, back to Godhead. Text 10 through 13.
The daily double.
Daily double. Hung se garao mai, but Daily double. O my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramahamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth. Then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord, and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home, and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded... I'll read that again. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life, air, mind, and senses. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. Always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acquire knowledge from the right source. thus practicing bhakti yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. Purport. In these four verses, Rishabhadev tells his sons how to become free from the false ego in material conditioned life. One gradually becomes liberated by practicing, as mentioned above. All these prescribed methods enable one to give up the material body, lingam vyapohet, and be situated in his original spiritual body. First of all, one has to accept the bona fide spiritual master. This is advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shri Guru Padashrayaha. To be freed from the entanglement of the material world, one has to approach a spiritual master. Tad vijñānārthaṁ sagurūṁ eva bigacchet. By questioning the spiritual master and by serving him, one can advance in spiritual life. When one engages in devotional service, naturally the attraction for personal comfort, for eating, sleeping, and dressing is reduced. By associating with the devotee, a spiritual standard is maintained. The word Maddeva Sangat is very important. There are many so-called religions devoted to the worship of various demigods. But here, good association means association with one who simply accepts Krishna as his worshipable deity. Another important item is dvandva titiksha. As long as one is situated in the material world, there must be pleasure and pain arising from the material body. As Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, tangs titiksha subharata, one has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pains and pleasures of this material world. One must also be detached from his family and practice celibacy. Sex with one's wife, according to the scriptural injunctions, is also accepted as brahmacharya, celibacy. But illicit sex is opposed to religious principles, and it hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. Another important word is vijnana virajita. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously. One should be a realized soul. In this way, one can give up the entanglement of material bondage. As Sri Madhvacharya points out, the sum and substance of these four shlokas is that one should refrain from acting out of a desire for sense gratification and should instead always engage in the Lord's loving service. In other words, bhakti yoga is the acknowledged path of liberation. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Adhyatma, Atmano vihitam karma varjayit manja karmanaha kamasya cha parityago niritit ahurutamaha utamaha. One should perform activities only for the benefit of the soul. Any other activity should be given up. When a person is situated in this way, he is said to be desireless. Actually, a living entity cannot be totally desireless, but when he desires the benefit of the soul and nothing else, he is said to be desireless. Spiritual knowledge is jnana-vijnana-samanvitam. Thank you. When one is fully equipped with jnana and vijnana, he is perfect. Jnana means that one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, to be the Supreme Being. Vijnana refers to the activities that liberate one from the ignorance of material existence. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnanam paramaguyam yad vijnana samanvitam. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is very confidential, and the Supreme knowledge by which one understands him furthers the liberation of the living entities. This knowledge is vijnana, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah chatvadeham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna.
Does it ask to make special prayer for Kalindi Devi Dasi in Dallas, because her mother is just going into a very risky surgery right about now. So I pray to Srila Prabhupada Giriraj and to all the great devotees to please protect her mother, keep her under their shelter. Everyone who agrees with this, please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
May it be so. Thank you. Om Tat Sat. Text number 14. Karma Shayam Hridaya Granta Bandham Avidyaya Saditam Apramatah. I'm sorry. Avidyaya Saditam Apramatah Anena Yogin Yayato Padesham Sabhya Vyapohat Paramita Yogat. As I have advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful. By these means, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruit of activity. And the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. Purport. The process of liberation is Brahma-jignasa, the search for the absolute truth. Generally, Brahma-jignasa is called neti-neti, the process by which one analyzes existence to search out the absolute truth. This method continues as long as one is not situated in his spiritual life. Spiritual life is Brahma-bhuta, the self-realized state. In the words of Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma-bhuta prasannātma na shocati na kaṃkṣati samasarveshabhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. The idea is to enter into the para-bhakti, the transcendental devotional service of the Supreme Lord. To attain this, one must analyze one's existence. But when one is actually engaged in devotional service, he should not bother seeking out knowledge. By simply engaging in devotional service undeviatingly, one will always remain in the liberated condition. Mamshayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatityaitam brahmabhuya yakalpate. The unflinching execution of devotional service is in itself Brahma-bhuta. Another important feature in this connection is anena yogena yatopadesham. The instructions received from the spiritual master must be followed immediately. One should not deviate from or surpass the instructions of the spiritual master. One should not be simply intent on consulting books, but should simultaneously execute the spiritual master's order. Yatopadesham. Mystic power should be achieved to enable one to give up the material conception. But when one actually engages in devotional service, one does not need to practice the mystic yoga system, Navina. The point is that one can give up the practice of yoga, but devotional service cannot be given up. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10, Atmaramashchamunayo nigranta apyurukrame Even those who are liberated, Atmarama, must always engage in devotional service. One may give up the practice of yoga when one is self-realized, but at no stage can one give up devotional service. All other activities for self-realization, including yoga and philosophical speculation, may be given up, but devotional service must be retained at all times. Text number 15. If one is serious about going home back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead the summum bonum and chief aim in life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should always avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son, or citizen who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 3.26, it is stated, Nabhudi bedam janayet ajnanam karma sangidam joshayet sarva karmani vidvam yukta samachara. Let not the wise disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to fruit of action. They should be encouraged to not to refrain from work, but to work in the spirit of devotion. And now we'll take a few reflections. Anything that you heard so far that's stuck in your mind? There's a few things there. Yes, Shamya Pras.
I like how in purport to, and there's so many things, but this one thing from 13, Prabhupada says, knowledge of the Supreme Lord is very confidential, and the supreme knowledge by which one understands him furthers the liberation of all living entities.
Say it again.
Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is very confidential, and the supreme knowledge by which one understands him furthers the liberation of all living entities.
Can you tell why you found that extraordinary, and can you unpack it a little bit? Thank you.
I mean, I just really appreciate that Prabhupada says that the knowledge by which one understands Krishna furthers the liberation of all living entities. It's like as soon as somebody approaches devotional service, it's good for everybody. It's good for them. It's good for everybody attached to them. It's good for everyone they meet, everyone they pray for. It just becomes absolutely good. It's great.
Fantastic.
I heard Gopi Prabhupada once say that Vyasadeva, he very rarely went out of his cave. I mean, he came down to Hastinapur a few times. And Haridasa, he was preaching also, but he was spending a lot of time just chanting. But they, by their wonderful devotional service, you know, could influence the whole world.
I really like this last verse. It really touched me, this verse. You know, he says about instructing subordinates. It's a really important verse. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in so like that. And also, I mean, one could take this for oneself also, even though the mind senses may be very stubborn. We know we have the right intention and we keep at the process of devotional service, even if we're not at first successful. We also have to be a little forgiving of our own ineptitudes. I don't know if that can be plural, can it? Ineptitude. And go on with the process, because there's a way of becoming morose and unproductive in practicing. Think, oh, I'm not good enough, so I might as well quit, or I might as well just go back into sense gratification altogether. What are the things? Yes.
Do you think you should repeat back the reflections because Akinchana Krishna?
Akinchana Krishna?
Sorry.
Kinchi's here.
A little Kinchi. Difficult to hear.
Give him the crowd.
A little difficult to hear the reflections of the devotees.
He made hold the world record for going around Govardhan. Okay, so well, anyway, I was just saying. So I'll we'll repeat them from now on. Sorry, Kinchana Krishna Prabhu. Okay, what else?
Realize my heart is filled with Gotadimba.
He says his heart is filled with Gotadimba. So we call it Gotadimba Das. Goda Dimba means?
The horse that lays eggs.
The horse that lays eggs. It's just whimsy. It's something that's never going to happen. Or the sky flowers.
Kapushpa.
What is it?
Kapushpa.
Kashpushpa. And Goda Dimba. Those two devotees, they hang out together. Goda Dimba Das and Kashpushpa Das. Went out, slept under the canopy all day, came back, took prasadam, and went to bed again. Yes. Put Madhva on the...
Sorry. 2 points.
2 points for Madhva.
One thing is that we should, if we speak out loudly and clearly... And
like you're a thespian.
I will, yes.
Yeah, you have the voice to do it. You can do it.
One is act conscious, scientifically and consciously, which means, like I understand it, that we are not ready immediately to act on something until we organize it well in our head and become really aware of it, become conscious. Otherwise, we do things which may produce maybe even the opposite result or something. So this is nice to keep in mind. Scientifically and consciously, the process is meant to be followed. Otherwise, Alpavidya Bhayankaram, you may misunderstand something and go somewhere else because you misunderstood the instructions. And the other one is that one should not only consult books but execute the order of the guru, which is like main principle to make it work. Sometimes we read books, we know many things, and we think we can find our way, but actually this active principle of spiritual life, if you do not follow the order, even though you consult books and everything, it's...
I would like to ask questions.
Hold on.
Oh. Here. Kind of move the mic fast.
I would like to ask Vaisheshika Prabhu...
You don't have to hold your mouth right down here.
So I know.
It's too loud. Right here. This is my reaction.
I wanted Vaisheshika Prabhu to elaborate on what he just said.
Which part of what he just said?
You have to repeat it again for me to remember. You're sitting next to an old
man. Well, one thing he said was about misinterpreting instructions and then following. One should clarify what the instructions are and then
follow them, correct?
Then not only consulting books, as I wrote...
Yeah, well, that was the second thing. First thing you said was that...
First was should act scientifically and consciously.
Scientifically and consciously.
I remember
what it was. This idea about just consulting book... I mean, it's usually here.
Okay.
So... this idea about consulting books and not consulting the spiritual masters. So I would like the Vaisheshika Prabhu to elaborate on this a little bit, because it seems to me that sometimes the emphasis may be on knowledge, or the accumulation of knowledge, you know, rather than learning how to act. Because the verses we've been hearing are jnana and vijnana, and the scientific point that you're making about, I heard Prabhupada say many times, is the application of the knowledge so that it becomes realized, it becomes something you can see and taste and feel and experience yourself. So I would like him to elaborate on that, please. Unpack it for us.
Well, two things that come to my mind. One is from the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna describes a person who is Maya Apritagyana, which means that he's accumulated a lot of knowledge. But because he doesn't believe in Krishna, he doesn't have faith in place properly, and knowledge is skewed. It's not directed in the right way, and it becomes ineffective. And then the second one, which counterposes that, is yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tatagarau tasyaite katitahyarta prakashanti mahatmanaha. That when one has implicit faith in both the Guru and in Krishna, one understands the full import of Vedic knowledge. And it's not a question of how much knowledge one can accumulate, but really about its proper application through the faith one has in one's heart. We have a seat?
Yes.
Why did you ask me to unpack it?
I see that there's a bit of a tendency to study with the idea of...
I see a danger in studying books in order to accumulate knowledge, or what's the word I was going to use? For the sake of information content. Information content rather than...
We had a guy, the brother Rishabhadeva, who passed away about 15 years ago. And when he was near the throes of death, there was a group of devotees there visiting him. He implored them to read Prabhupada's books, not for the sake of getting the information that's in them, but to associate with Prabhupada. Feel that. And it was a very different kind of experience, he was saying, when you try to have communion with Prabhupada and his emotions, his mission, and everything like that through the books, rather than thinking how I will use this later. In fact, it's mentioned by Rupa Goswami and quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the section of Ramachandra Puri and elsewhere, that one shouldn't become a bookworm and accumulate knowledge. Actually, it's in the section of Tapana Mishra. And one shouldn't become a bookworm. That's a verse, actually, that's quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And just accumulate all kinds of knowledge. In fact, it's a kind of over-collecting, atyahara. If you get too much, and it's only for the sake of defeating others, or being expert in a particular field of knowledge, so that you can really shine in that, and it's not done in a devotional mood, then it won't have the effect properly.
Thank you very much, Rajesh.
The mood is important.
Just
right?
What I was looking for, what you said. There's a word that's
based in French. It's called dilettante. Dilettante is one who takes a little from here and a little from there, and then he either thinks he's, you know, he knows a lot, but he hasn't really studied any one of the books he's taking from thoroughly. In other words, you know, if you learn something thoroughly, then you can comprehend it and you can practice it and you can teach others it. But if you're a dilettante, and then you will just a little, give a little here, a little bit there, and the person will not become a whole, wise person. Because wisdom has something to do with more than just information contents. You can pass a test, you know, multiple choice questions and, you know, so many things. But wisdom means that you know how to behave and you know how to think and feel and will in a way that will give an example to others to be Krishna conscious. Rather than just, like you said, I thought it was a very good point you just made about, you know, accumulate knowledge in order to what? In order to become well-known, or in order to get followers, or in order to be able to, you know, lord it over someone else, because I know more than you do, and, you know, I know more shlokas and all this and that. But when it comes to actually treating the person, and that ties into the point where we just read about how even if a person's not perfect, we shouldn't, you know, prematurely, you know, what's the word he used? Reject them, or demean them, or
give up on them.
Or give up on them. That's the right thing. That's the right one. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
You were just saying about the, you know, sort of developing qualities, and that we had read the other day, I think on the way over to Govardhan, we were reading the fourth canto, were we not? And it was a section, or maybe it was elsewhere, about how Krishna's especially attached to those who develop good qualities. He says, especially being equipoised. He said Krishna's equipoised, and when he sees that the devotee's also equipoised, Krishna becomes very pleased. And that's another point is about how the Vedic training
Prabhupada said is meant to for developing character. It's yeah. it's the character that's developed that's really important. So one gets a lot of knowledge. We've seen this in the Bhakti Shastri. It's actually a conundrum now. Mm. That sometimes people, they'll get a Bhakti Shastri degree and then they'll flaunt it. And yeah. they'll say that, you know, hey, I got a Bhakti Shastri, what are you telling me anything?
Mm.
So we wrote in, Srivas Pandit and I discussed this, well, we said that we have the right to revoke it at any time. If you claim priority over anybody because you got a Bhakti Shastri, then you're immediately disqualified and your certificate is revoked. Yeah, that's the way it should be, right? Nagar, last point.
I just wanted to say that how you define wisdom, that was really amazing. Could you repeat that? Wisdom.
Well, wisdom means that you've learned how to think and feel and will and behave in such a way that inspires others to do the same. Can I offer a verse to back up what you just said?
Yes,
please.
Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan api nalipite. This is the way to tell whether somebody is just a dilettante or if he's actually yoga yukto, what did I just say? Vishuddhatma. Vijitatma jitendriya. In other words, if one is simple and is engaged in devotional service and controls his senses, he becomes dear to everyone and everyone becomes dear to him. Mm-hmm. So this other thing, this dilettante thing, he thinks of himself as something special and he puts down others, or he can see others as less important or less, and then he gets entangled. But the last line of that verse was? Kurvan api nalipite. Even though doing things, even though being active and doing things, he doesn't become entangled. He doesn't become, implicated in the results, in reactions.
Nicely quoted.
Sadhu.
Sorry for the gaitra break. Mm. We'll be back here at 25 after.
We're
continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on the canto number 5. And this is chapter 5, Lord Rishabhadeva's teachings, taking up at text number 16 with Kesha Bharti Maharaj reading.
Text 16. Due to ignorance, I'll wait till Vrindavan comes in, gets settled. Hare Krishna Vrindavan. You must be really happy to be in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Vrindavan.
It was actually a last minute ticket.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lucky you, huh?
Yeah.
How are you? Anyway, we're really happy to have you here.
I'm really happy to be here.
Well, that's good. We missed you. I haven't seen you in such a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on verse 16 now. Everybody.
Hear ye.
Due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest, the auspicious path in life. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates a society of envy, and due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. Such a foolish person does not even know about this. Purport. The word nashta drishtihi, meaning one who has no eyes to see the future, is very significant in this verse. Life goes on from one body to another, and the activities performed in this life are enjoyed or suffered in the next life, if not later in this life. One who is unintelligent, who has no eyes to see the future, simply creates enmity and fights with others for sense gratification. As a result, one suffers in the next life. But due to being like a blind man, he continues to act in such a way that he suffers unlimitedly. Such a person is a mudha, one who simply wastes his time and does not understand the Lord's devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha mudoyam namijanati logomam ajam abhyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, yogamaya. And so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. In the Katha Upanishad, it is also said, avidyayam antare vartamana swayam didak panditam manyamanaha. Although ignorant, people still go to other blind men for leadership. I'll read that again. That's a good one. Although ignorant, people still go to other blind men for leadership. As a result, both are subjected to miserable conditions. The blind lead the blind into a ditch. Yeah. Idiocracy. Text 17. If someone is ignorant and addicted to the path of samsara, how can one who is actually learned, merciful, and advanced in spiritual knowledge engage him in fruitive activity and thus further entangle him in material existence? If a blind man is walking down the wrong path, how can a gentleman allow him to continue on his way to danger? How can he approve this method? No wise or kind man can allow this. Another dimension of wisdom. Text 18. Guru nasasyat, svajanas nasasyat, pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat, daivam nadasyam napatishya sasyam, namochayat yat samopetam rityom. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a relative, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. Purport. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhadeva advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Chaktva deham punarjanma naitama meti sorjana. One can stop birth and death only by returning home, back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma chame divyam evam bho vidhi tatvataha. We have many instances in history illustrating Rishabhdev's instructions. Shukracharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali Maharaj from the path of repeated birth and death. Shukracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give anything to Lord Vishnu.
Everything.
Did I say anything? Oh, wait, can I read it again? Thank
you.
Thank you. Shukracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Actually, one is supposed to give everything to the Lord, because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Supreme Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, Yat kadoshi yadishnasi yat jahosi dadasi yat yat tapasya sikoteya tat gurucha madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father, or mother. Similarly, the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother. Janani Nasa Syat. The word Daivam indicates a demigod or one who accepts worship from a dependent. Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother, or superior relative accepts worship from an inferior relative. But here, Rishabhadeva forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master, or husband must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. Everyone should be very responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of his disciples, or a father takes charge of his son. All these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. Text 19. My transcendental body, Sachidananda Vigraha, looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material human form body. It is inconceivable. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. My heart is also spiritual, and I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. Far from my heart, I have abandoned irreligion, adharma, and non-devotional activities. They do not appeal to me. Due to all these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishabhadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities. What a verse. Purport. Yeah, why not?
Should we?
Did you have an answer?
Why are you asking?
I didn't ask, he asked.
Why did he ask?
You have to ask him.
Why did he ask?
How should I know?
Because it was so wonderful. We'll go on. Purport. In this verse, the words idam shariram mamadur vibhavyam are very significant. Generally, we experience two energies, material energy and spiritual energy. We have some experience of the material energy, earth, water, fire, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. Because in the material world, everyone's body is composed of these elements. Within the material body is the spirit soul, but we cannot see it with the material eyes. When we see a body full of spiritual energy, it is very difficult for us to understand how the spiritual energy can have a body. It is said that Lord Rishabhadeva's body is completely spiritual. Therefore, for a materialistic person, it is very difficult to understand. For a materialistic person, the completely spiritual body is inconceivable. We have to accept the version of the Vedas when our experimental perception cannot understand a subject. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha, the Supreme Lord has a body with form, but that body is not composed of material elements. It is made of spiritual bliss, eternity, and living force. By the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord can appear before us in his original spiritual body, But because we have no experience of the spiritual body, we are sometimes bewildered and see the form of the Lord as material. The Mayavadi philosophers are completely unable to conceive of a spiritual body. They say that the spirit is always impersonal, and whenever they see something personal, they take it for granted that it is material. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanamashritam param bhavamajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Unintelligent people think that the Supreme Lord accepts a body composed of the material energy. We can easily understand the material body, but we cannot understand the spiritual body. Therefore, Rishabhadev says, Idam Shariram Mamadur Vibhavyam. In the spiritual world, everyone has a spiritual body. There is no conception of material existence there. In the spiritual world, there is only service and the receiving of service. There is only Sevya, there is only Sevya, Seva, and Sevaka. The person served, the process of service, and the servant. These three items are completely spiritual, and therefore the spiritual world is called absolute. There is no tinge of material contamination there. Being completely transcendental to the material conception, Lord Rishabhadev states that his heart is composed of Dharma. Dharma is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. In the spiritual world, every living entity is surrendered to the Supreme Lord. I'll repeat that again. In the spiritual world, every living entity is surrendered to the Supreme Lord and is completely on the spiritual platform. Although there are servitors to serve and service, all are spiritual and variegated. At the present moment, due to our material conception, everything is durvibhavya, inconceivable. Being the Supreme, the Lord is called Rishabha, the best. In terms of the Vedic language, nityo nityanam, we are also spiritual, but we are subordinate. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the foremost living entity. The word Rishabh means the chief or the supreme and indicates the supreme being or God himself. Text 20. My dear boys, you are all born of my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like the materialistic and envious men. You should accept your eldest brother, Bharat, who is exalted in devotional service. If you engage yourselves in Bharat's service, your service to him will include my service, and you will rule the citizens automatically. Purport. In this verse, the word Hridaya indicates the heart, which is also called Uraha, the chest. The heart is situated within the chest, and although instrumentally the son is born with the aid of the genitals, he is actually born from within the heart. According to the heart's situation, the semen takes the form of a body. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, when one begets a child, his heart should be purified through the ritualistic ceremony known as Garbhadana. Rishabhadev's heart was always uncontaminated and spiritual. Consequently, all the sons born from the heart of Rishabhadev were spiritually inclined. Nonetheless, Rishabhadev suggested that his eldest son was superior, and he advised the others to serve him. All the brothers of Bharat Maharaj were advised by Rishabhadev to adhere to Bharat's service. The question may be raised, why one should be attached to family members? For in the beginning, it was advised that one should not be attached to home and family. However, it is also advised, mahiyasam padarusho bisheka. One has to serve the mahiyan, one who is very spiritually advanced. Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktehe. By serving the mahat, the exalted devotee, one's path for liberation is open. The family of Rishabhadev should not be compared to an ordinary materialistic family. Bharat Maharaj, Rishabhadev's eldest son, was specifically very exalted. For this reason, the other sons were advised to serve him for his pleasure. That was to be their duty. The Supreme Lord was advising Bharat Maharaj to be the chief ruler of the planet. This is the real plan of the Supreme Lord. In the Battle of Kurukshetra, we find that Lord Krishna wanted Maharaj Yudhishthir to be the supreme emperor of this planet. He never wanted Duryodhana to take the post. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Rishabhadeva's heart is Ridayam Yatra Dharma. The characteristic Dharma is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To protect Dharma, Paritranaya Sadhunam, the Lord always wants the ruler of the earth to be a devotee. Then everything goes on nicely for the benefit of everyone. As soon as a demon rules the earth, everything becomes chaotic. At the present moment, the world is inclined toward the democratic process, but the people in general are all contaminated by the modes of passion and ignorance. Consequently, they cannot select the right person to head the government. The president is selected by the votes of ignorant Shudras. Therefore, another Shudra is elected, and immediately the entire government becomes polluted. If people strictly followed the principles of Bhagavad Gita, they would elect a person who is the Lord's devotee. Then automatically there would be good government. Rishabhadev therefore recommended Bharat Maharaj as the emperor of this planet. Serving a devotee means serving the Supreme Lord, for a devotee always represents the Lord. When a devotee is in charge, the government is always congenial and beneficial for everyone.
Daily double. Text 21 through 22. Everyone okay?
Yes.
Of the two energies manifest, spirit and dull matter, beings possessing living force, vegetables, grass, trees, and plants, are superior to dull matter, stone, earth, etc. Superior to moving plants and vegetables are worms and snakes, which can move. Superior to worms and snakes are animals that have developed intelligence. Superior to animals are human beings, and superior to human beings are ghosts, because they have no material bodies. Superior to ghosts are the Gandharvas, and superior to them are the Siddhas. Superior to the Siddhas are the Kinnaras, and superior to them are the Asuras. Superior to the Asuras are the demigods, and of the demigods, Indra, the king of heaven, is supreme. Superior to Indra are the direct sons of Lord Brahma, sons like Daksha. Like King Daksha, and supreme among Brahma's sons is Lord Shiva. Since Lord Shiva is the son of Lord Brahma, Brahma is considered superior, but Brahma is also subordinate to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because I am inclined to the Brahmanas are the best of all. Mm. Purport. Oh. Yeah, you want to ask about the ghost thing?
No.
No? Okay, go ahead. Well, there's different ways of counting things. Just like when you do Sankhya, you can divide up the elements in the universe in various ways. And it's done so even in the Bhagavatam. There's different lists of the elements. But there's no stereotype way of doing it, but according to the to this list, you're just listing according to their subtlety. Yes? 1, 2.
Well, I was going to ask about, even on that level, if it's one is more subtle than another, how are the Siddhas rated lower than the Asuras? That was my confusion.
Well, let's hear the purport first.
I'm sorry.
Anything else?
Because
yes.
Because there were listed different living entities, and I was thinking that it's relevant to ask those 400,000 human forms among the 8 million, and what are those human forms?
There's no answer to that.
Okay.
Not available.
Okay.
So far.
Thank you.
Purport.
Ice tunnels.
No, sorry, no ice. In this verse, the brahmanas are given a position superior to that of the Supreme Lord. The idea is that the government should be conducted under the guidance of the brahmanas. Although Rishabhadeva recommended his eldest son, Bharat, as emperor of the earth, he still had to follow the instructions of the brahmanas in order to govern the world perfectly. The Lord is worshipped as Brahmanyadeva. The Lord is very fond of devotees or brahmanas. This does not refer to the so-called caste brahmanas, but to qualified brahmanas. A brahmana should be qualified with the 8 qualities mentioned in text 24, such as shama, dhamma, satya, and tatiksha. The brahmanas should always be worshipped, and under their guidance, the ruler should discharge his duty and rule the citizens. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, the executive is not selected by very intelligent people, nor is he guided by qualified brahmanas. Consequently, chaos results. Thank you. Thank you. The mass of people, nothing. The mass of people should be educated in Krishna consciousness so that according to the democratic process, they can select a first-class devotee like Bharat Maharaj to head the government. If the head of the state is headed by qualified brahmanas, everything is completely perfect. In this verse, the evolutionary process is indirectly mentioned. The modern theory that life evolves from matter is to some extent supported in this verse because it is stated, bhuteshu virudbhyaha. That is, the living entities evolve from vegetables, grass, plants, and trees, which are superior to dull matter. In other words, matter also has the potency to manifest living entities in the form of vegetables. In this sense, life comes out of matter, but matter also comes out of life. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds, everything emanates from me. There are two energies, material and spiritual, and both originally come from Krishna. Krishna is the supreme living entity, although it may be said that in the material world a living... We're online?
Yeah.
And was the last segment saved? I'd like to give a personal apology to our watching
They're
audience.
They're not yet back.
They're not yet back.
It's my fault.
Nagar Kirtan Prabhu, who's normally a crack cameraman, had so much absorption in the transcendental literature that he didn't see the camera ran out.
Yeah,
it's not his fault because he is on the transcendental platform and couldn't attend to the camera. We apologize in any case. It's my fault for letting him go into ecstasy. So now we're continuing with the broadcast. Are we up and going?
Yeah, we're going.
Okay.
We need to read the moment that talks.
We need to go back to the beginning of the canto.
Can you tell? There's a way to tell. There's a way to tell.
If you start it, going listen
if you stop it, then start it up again with a new
Here we are,
title.
Right here. The evolutionary process is also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya, chapter 19, wherein it is said that there are two types of living entities, moving and non-moving. Among moving entities, there are birds, beasts, aquatics, human beings, and so on. Of these, the human beings are supposed to be the best, for they are few, but they are few. Of these small numbers of human beings, there are many low-class human beings like mlechas, pulindas, bodhas, and shabaras. The human being elevated enough to accept Vedic principles is superior. Among those who accept the Vedic principles, generally known as Varnashrama, presently known as the Hindu system, few actually follow these principles. Of those who actually follow the Vedic principles, most follow fruitive activity or pious activity for elevation to a high position. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashid yatati siddhaye. Out of many attached to fruitive activity, one may be a jnani, That is, one philosophically inclined and superior to the karmis. Yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mambiti tatvataha out of many jnanis. One may be liberated from the material bondage. And out of many millions of liberated jnanis, one may become a devotee of Krishna. Text number 23. O respectful brahmanas, as far as I am concerned, no one is equal or superior to the brahmanas of this world. I do not find anyone comparable to them. When people know my motive after performing rituals according to the Vedic principles, they offer food to me with faith and love through the mouth of a brahmana. When food is thus offered unto me, I eat it with full satisfaction. Indeed, I derive more pleasure from food offered in that way than from the food offered in the sacrificial fire. Just a short note, that a brahmana means someone has the qualities of a brahmana. And we were mentioning it earlier, how Krishna appreciates the quality of a particular person. That's what he's most attracted to. And so anyone who has these qualities, Krishna adores that person and actually eats through them, and he gives all support to such people. According to the Vedic system, after the sacrificial ceremony, the brahmanas are invited to eat the remnants of the offered food. When the brahmanas eat the food, it is to be considered directly eaten by the Supreme Lord. Thus, no one can be compared to qualified brahmanas. The perfection of evolution is to be situated on the brahminical platform. Any civilization not based on brahminical culture or guided by brahmanas is certainly a condemned civilization. Presently, human civilization is based on sense gratification, and consequently, more and more people are becoming addicted to different types of things. No one respects brahminical culture. Demoniac civilization is attached to ugra karma, horrible activities, and big industries are created to satisfy unfathomable lusty desires. Consequently, the people are greatly harassed by governmental taxation. The people are irreligious and do not perform the sacrifices recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Jagnad bhavati parjanya. By the performance of sacrifice, clouds form and rain falls. Due to sufficient rainfall, there is sufficient production of food. Guided by the brahmanas, society should follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Then people will become very happy. Anad bhavanti bhutani. When animals and man are sufficiently fed with grains, they become stronger, their hearts become tranquil, and their brains peaceful. They can then advance in spiritual life, life's ultimate destination. Again, anad bhavanti bhutani. When animals and man are sufficiently fed with grains, they become stronger, their hearts become tranquil, and their brains peaceful. They can then advance in spiritual life, life's ultimate destination. Grains is a very subjective term.
There's science.
Anna just means food.
Grains also makes you very peaceful and free from, like...
Not eating grains?
Eating grains makes you satisfied and happy. Otherwise, you can become morose.
Yeah.
There's research on that.
But there's no... Vrindavan?
So I was thinking, it says when you're sufficiently fed with grains, your heart becomes tranquil, because when you're like hungry and then you're listening to, you know, Bhagavad Gita, your brain is going to be like, I'm hungry, when the sand in your heart will start beating like super fast. And then after you eat, it'll be like, feel peaceful, and then you can like listen to the Bhagavad Gita peacefully.
I resonate with that, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see after lunch, too, how more peaceful we feel.
We'll see, maybe too peaceful.
That's probably the secret for getting Bhagavatam class.
What's that?
Huh?
Don't eat grains?
You eat before you take good class, right?
I usually take a little prasad before you get a class.
Take full belly prasad.
Right before. Because I do it for every service.
Now, I just wanted to point out that this is... Anna. Anna means food. It doesn't necessarily... I mean, what is a grain, actually? There's a big contentious. It's a bit contentious. For instance, like on Ekadashi, you don't eat grains. What's a grain? Everyone has a different opinion. So.
It depends on the context of the incense.
Text number 24.
Now we move on.
Three, two, one, quiet on set. The Vedas are my eternal transcendental sound incarnation. Therefore, the Vedas are Shabda Brahma. In this world, the Brahmanas thoroughly study all the Vedas, and because they assimilate the Vedic conclusions, they are to be considered the Vedas personified. The Brahmanas are situated in the supreme transcendental mode of nature, Sattva-guna. Because of this, they are fixed in mind control, Shama, sense control, Dhamma, and truthfulness, Satya. They describe the Vedas in their original sense, and out of mercy, Anugraha, they preach the purpose of the Vedas to all conditioned souls. Anugraha. Graha means to grab, and anu means to follow. So actually to make someone follow you in the right direction is the sense that it means mercy. They practice penance, tapasya, and tolerance, ditiksha, and they realize the position of the living entity and the Supreme Lord, Anubhava. These are the eight qualifications of the Brahmanas. Therefore, among all living entities, no one is superior to the Brahmanas. Purport. This is a true description of a Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who has assimilated the Vedic conclusions by practicing mind and sense control. He speaks the true version of all the Vedas, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Vedaish chasarvair ahameva vedyo. By studying all the Vedas, one should come to understand the transcendental position of Lord Sri Krishna. One who actually assimilated the essence of the Vedas. Is that what yours says?
Yes.
One who has actually assimilated the essence of the Vedas can preach the truth.
Correct.
He is compassionate to conditioned souls who are suffering the threefold miseries of this conditional world due to their not being Krishna conscious. A Brahmana should take pity on the people and preach Krishna consciousness in order to elevate them. Sri Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally descends into this universe from the spiritual kingdom to teach conditioned souls about the values of spiritual life. He tries to induce them to surrender unto him. Similarly, the Brahmanas do the same thing. After assimilating the Vedic instructions, they assist the Supreme Lord in his endeavor to deliver conditioned souls. The Brahmanas are very dear to the Supreme Lord due to their high sattva-guna qualities, and they also engage in welfare activities for the condition for all conditioned souls in the material world. Super high value on that. Pleasing the Supreme Lord. I am fully opulent, almighty and superior to Lord Brahma and Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. I am also the bestower of all happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom and by liberation. Nonetheless, the Brahmanas do not seek material comforts from me. They are very pure and do not want to possess anything. They simply engage in my devotional service. What is the need of their asking for material benefits from anyone else? Purport. The perfect brahminical qualification is stated herein. Akinchanana mai bhakti bhajam. The Brahmanas are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Consequently, they have no material wants, nor do they possess material things. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 11.8, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the position of pure Vaishnavas who are anxious to return home back to Godhead. This kinchanasya bhagavad bhajano mukasya. Those who actually want to return back to Godhead are nishkinchana, that is, they have no desire for material comfort. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, sandarshanam vishayinam atayoshitam cha ha hanta hanta vishabhakshanato pyasadhu. Material opulence and sense gratification through the association of women are more dangerous than poison. Brahmanas who are pure Vaishnavas always engage in the Lord's service and are devoid of any desire for material gain. The Brahmanas do not worship demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra, or Lord Shiva for any material comfort. They do not even ask the Supreme Lord for material profit. Therefore, it is concluded that the Brahmanas are the supreme living entities of this world. Sri Kapiladev also confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-33, Tasman mayar pitashesha kriyartyatma nirantaraha mayar pitamana pungso mayi sanyasa karmanaha na pashyami parambhutam akartu samadarshanat. The Brahmanas are always dedicated to the Lord's service with their bodies, words, and mind. There is no better person than a Brahmana who thus engages himself and dedicates himself to the Supreme Lord.
Text 26. My dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I am situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. Purport. In this verse, the word vibhakta drigbihi, meaning without envy, is used. All living entities are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Andantarastam Paramanu Chayantarastam, the Lord is situated in this universe as Garbhodakashayi Vishnu and Shirodakashayi Vishnu. He is also situated within every atom. He is also situated within every atom. According to the Vedic statement, Ishavashyamidam Sarvam, the Supreme Lord is situated everywhere, and wherever He is situated is His temple. We even offer respect to a temple from a distant place, and all living entities should similarly be offered respect. This is different from the theory of pantheism, which holds that everything is God. Everything has a relationship with God, because God is situated everywhere. We should not make any particular distinction between the poor and the rich, like the foolish worshippers of Daridra Narayana. Narayana is present in the rich as well as the poor. One should not simply think Narayana is situated among the poor. He is everywhere. An advanced devotee will offer respect to everyone, even to cats and dogs. Vidyavinaya sampane ramane gavihastine shuni chaiva shupake cha panditat samadarshinaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. This samadarshina, equal vision, should not be mistaken to mean that the individual is the same as the Supreme Lord. They are always distinct. Every individual person is different from the Supreme Lord. It is a mistake to equate the individual living entity with the Supreme Lord on the plea of vivikta-drik, vivikta-drik, samadrik. The Lord is always in an exalted position, even though He agrees to live everywhere. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting Padma Purana, states, Vibhikta drishti jivanam jishnyataya parameshwarasya veda drishtihi. One who has clear vision and who is devoid of envy can see the Supreme Lord. One who has clear vision and who is devoid of envy can see that the Supreme Lord is separate from all living entities, although He is situated in every living entity. Madhvacharya further quotes from Padma Purana, Upadayat Paratmanam Jivebhyo Yat Pade Pade Veninaiva Pichaitasmat Priyo Vishnus Dukankasjana. One who sees the living entity and the Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord. I'll repeat that. One who sees the living entity and the Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord.
Mm. Padma, sorry.
Go ahead.
Is that the end of the purport?
No.
No.
Oh, go ahead.
Padma Purana also states, Yo halish chaiva jivanam veda bhakta hare priyaha. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord is very dear to Lord Vishnu.
In that sense, this morning's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we'll take it up again at 3:30 India Standard Time. Please join us again for this ongoing reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam during Kartik. Thank you very much. Go up, everyone.
Haribo, 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 Haribo,
Natari Armarman, 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 Natari Armarman,